So, oh, that's what I wanted to say, and I guess I'm probably gonna say this on the pod too, but I found a beach volleyball anime, and I finished it because the reason I even tapped into it is not just because I want like I'm not you know not for the etchy reason. It truly was I wanted to see why didn't the beach volleyball show not blow up and why did Haikyuu blow up. And after finishing it, I finished it last, I think, well, yesterday. I guess
What's
it
the
was
name of the
there because it was
show?
before work. Haruka Received. Wait. Haruka? Haruka. Yeah. I'm thinking too hard to it. Haruka Received. It's a 12-episode thing. I just was like, why isn't this talk? It's volleyball too. But after watching it, I guess I kind of see why it wouldn't pop out the same.
Yeah.
One is going to get the etchy name of it. Two, it's kind of Yuri-ish, not going to cap. And three, they didn't focus on the dynamics
All
of the
right.
sport as much as they sh as Haikyuu does. Like Haikyuu gets quick and hurries up into the dynamics of the sport. And that I think plays into it. Same thing with Blue Lock. I feel like for people who don't play the sport, or for people who play the sport, everyone wants to know the mechanics. Because at the end of the day, even if you're really good, the mechanics are always going to help you win.
Yeah, I mean,
Always.
Blue Lot doesn't even go that heavy into the mechanics of the sport. It's just
It kind
about
of, because
being the
they
number one
already,
striker.
I think
I
it
think it
does.
does.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know the
From
mindset
the
of a striker.
perspective
I've
of a
never
striker.
kicked a ball.
Yeah,
Yeah, no,
no.
it doesn't go
No,
into
no.
super
It goes
detail on
really
it.
into the details of the perspective of a striker. I agree on that. But we're talking about the mechanics of the whole sport. It does not go that heavy into that, in my opinion.
No, that's fair. That's
It
fair.
will. Yeah, it will. But
I
it
feel
does go
like this
way.
second
I read
season,
it
I
too,
mean,
Josh.
everyone.
Yeah. I still don't think it goes into that heavy of the okay. It is as heavy into the details of this. Yeah, no, Aowashi goes into tactics and stuff like that. And the mechanics It's of each like, well, possession on the field. in that case, it's like comparing it, like it's like comparing Kuroko to Slam Dunk, because Slam Dunk Yeah, gives no, you a ton of exactly. points. Yeah, that's what that was my
That's a
point.
perfect
It
example.
doesn't. It's just not as super detailed. You could definitely learn how to play soccer watching Blue Lock. It's just you wouldn't have like the key fundamentals. Yes,
But
you
no,
would
man, at
know how to
that
play
point,
striker.
I wouldn't recommend any anime to get key fundamentals for a sport. I would say That
you
makes
should
sense.
know train.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
If I was
But
trying to get
I'm
my
pretty sure
friend to go
some.
play volleyball with me, I would try to get them to watch IQ.
You know what I'm saying? I think
Yeah,
it's a good
see,
way to
I'm
just
gonna keep it a
introduce
buck.
people
I would
to
just be like, yo, girls, fat asses, tight pants. I
it. See,
come on.
but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's why the Haruka Received didn't do well compared to like Haikyuu, because I think as much as like everyone loves a good etchy anime, it's like in the
Did it
sport world,
have
it's not,
did it
it
have the
doesn't fit in
tension
the
of
sport world.
competition?
It did. No, it did. It just doesn't fit. Etchy doesn't fit in the sport world. I think, I've been watching, like, I've watched some etchy shows recently, and I think
Actually, he's
that's
not
what
even
it
a
is.
tag. Oh, I've
It
seen this.
you watch it, bro. If you watch it, I'm
I
telling you,
I've recommended this anime and whatchamacallit in my
it's.
TikToks. Is
Oh,
that where you got it
okay.
wrong?
Honestly, no. I got it from just scrolling on Crunchyroll one night. Honestly.
It's okay.
It was. No,
It's not amazing,
honestly, as a standalone, yes. Oh, good show. Really was.
but you go
I
into
wanted to
Haruka
finish it.
knowing what to expect. You should look at the cover and know what to expect from this.
See,
You
I
shouldn't
didn't
be
expect
expecting high
Yuri. I
quality
didn't
volleyball.
expect Yuri. I didn't expect.
There's not one guy on the cover. You didn't expect
Okay,
Yuri.
Blue Lock isn't like it's one not one girl on the cover, but they ain't like, you know what I'm saying?
It's just shown in the anime.
Okay. It's just like when I watched that soccer anime when I was trying to be funny and then stuff got a little yow a little bit. I was like,
Little
oh.
yaoi,
Yeah.
you're like, oh wait,
No
hold on, I'm uncomfortable.
one told me that. That's the thing that gets me. I feel like
Look,
it's not
I'm
in
just
the
gonna say
tag,
this,
just like
right? If you look at a
the.
cover of a show, right,
Yeah.
and even if it's a shonen anime, right, if it's all girls on the cover or it's all guys on the cover, there is like at least a 1% chance it's going to be like one or the other or whatever.
I get what you're saying, and that's crazy because I mean, I don't know. I just feel like in the sports world, it's there. It does happen. But like, just throw it in the tag.
Especially like, on the women's side.
Yeah, I know. I'm
being honest.
I'm with you. I'm just saying, throw it in the tag because like, I didn't know how, like, when it started happening, I don't know. Okay. I gotta admit, I will say the drama pulled me in, but I didn't know, like, I just wish I knew it was coming. Not even the drama, but like that type. Because I was like, wait, I had to like question. And I think that's part of it. Like, they want you to question, like, is she gay? Is she not? Like, because that was like, I was like, wait, what? Hold on. When did this? Because like, it was friendship, but it was your, like, I remember seeing the tag, like, it did say sexual imagery. That's what it said. So like, then when I put two and two together, I was like, oh, okay. So she is into that shit. So like, not like everyone's into everyone. It's really just one relationship in it. But still, would have liked to know. I just feel like that's a tag that doesn't get put on. It only gets put on hentai, I'm pretty sure. I think that's the only thing it gets put on, is hentai. And that's understandable, I guess. But, you know, The show could get it too. Step in, relax, sit down for a bit. Otaku Collective, about to get you lit. Anime and manga in them top five lists. Best podcast, nothing comes close to this. Fire like a snap from Colonel Mustang. Three homies out here killing the game. Hit record and watch them all start to cook. Reviewing anime movies and comic books. Say Otaku. Otaku Collective Podcast. And welcome to another edition of the Otaku Collective Podcast. I'm the host of the XO, and I'm here with my boys, Josh and Steph. What's up, y'all?
You're
okay.
Two for the weekend.
Okay, you feel me?
Episode two for the weekend, indeed.
We're feeling good, but we're still feeling good, feeling energetic. Everybody's
got to. I guess the break helped.
I guess it did, man. I guess it did. You gotta have a break sometime. So
even though it was only a couple of hours. It was only a couple hours.
But we gotta do it. How's y'all week, man?
I'm gonna say what I said in the last episode, the exact same. If anybody happened to skip the Would You Rather episode that we recorded earlier today, which would have come out on Thursday the 27th of February, doing good, you know, been playing Master Duel with Reggie and the boys. That's been a vibe for sure. Y'all are more than welcome to come throughout the week when we're in there. Life is straight, you know, work's cool. I got some new opportunities on the way. Can't say too much, but they look dope. Other than that, it's Master Duel, anime, and basketball.
Thanks right there.
And I'm doing good as well. Ready to make it through this week, go on vacation. That's the reason why we're doing this many episodes. Record it all together, and then I'm going to edit them on, have them scheduled to come out over the next three Thursdays. And doing good. Though overall,
he's like, after, I can't do this again.
I will be honest, after watching the movie, though, I felt like really tired. I felt really tired. And so, what I was doing whenever I was texting y'all, hey, I'll be there around 9:30. I was taking a nap.
That bitch took a nap. Yeah, I knew.
I was taking a nap. In between,
it's crazy how you could go to sleep after seeing that much blood.
Like a baby.
That's correct. Like a baby.
Like you were a baby. Like, crazy. Right?
In between the last recording and this recording, though, it's only been 8 hours, roughly.
Yeah, that's about right. It's 10 o'clock.
And in that time, though, Korean pop star Lisa made an announcement on her Instagram that she's dropping an album called Alter Ego. And that album will be coming out on the 28th of February. So it will be out for about a week whenever this airs. It will have features from Doja Cat, Future, and Megan Thee Stallion, and Rosalia on it as well.
Oh my God, I get Lisa and Future on a song? I could play this song in the hood? I could play Lisa in the hood? It's a great day. It's a great day.
And Tyla for a song too.
I like Tyla. I do like Tyla.
That's the only song I like.
Tyla actually makes more sense to me because of the international feel. Like, I can see that being an amazing song. Future does surprise me because, like, I mean, it's just Future. I'm always be surprised when Future does something different. There's nothing I've never not been surprised.
The song title with Future is called Fuck Up the World.
Well, of course it is. Fuck up some commas. Hey, come on. He already did that. It's literally just a different word. So, yeah, this is his alley. That's up his alley. I'm not even... I think it's going to be a good song, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm just... Every time I hear time, I hear Future doing something different. I'm like, dang, man. We need to turn his life around. All right, man. That's gonna be a bop. Shout out to them.
And then also, I was gonna say as well, Dragon Ball Daima, episode 16, is the highest rated episode according to IMDb of 2025 so far, with a 9.9 rating.
Okay. Shout out Diamond.
And some people be wanting to say Dragon Ball dead, man, but it still gets the numbers. It's all about the numbers at the end of the day.
Well, also, like, IMDb could give, like, less of a fuck, like, who you are, like, what genre you are, or anything like that. They care if you produce quality content.
No, I'm here. Over the years, you know, there hasn't been a lot of Dragon Ball content out. There's been a lot of slander. And it's just, you know, women lie, men lie, but numbers don't lie. That's really just how I feel about it.
But that's all that I have. Nanny.
I mean, we get on good music. I feel like we can go into it for real. Because this was a banger soundtrack.
It was.
And this will be listened to this week. It'll be my playlist.
I bet that's the first time RZA didn't touch your shit.
I like RZA. No, back since LimeWire. All right, since LimeWire, yeah. I'll be real. Since LimeWire. Crazy. But, hey, bro. Hey. That was a time. If any music, that was a time. We ain't gonna talk about it. We're gonna get drunk. Today, we're gonna be talking about an amazing movie we got to experience, an amazing ending to us.
But before we get into it, where did y'all watch it? Crunchyroll?
Yeah, Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Boom. I watched this bitch on YouTube with Spanish subtitles like a real fan.
Back before it was on YouTube? Crunchyroll?
Back when...
No, yeah. I watched it today on YouTube.
Did you do that just for, like, nostalgia purposes?
I just wanted to. I was like, you know what? Let me see if it's on YouTube. It was on YouTube. I watched it. It was in English, but it had, like, the Spanish subtitles on the screen. So I was like,
okay.
I'm gonna just watch this. Yeah. I felt it mattered. I had to remember my roots.
Like nostalgia.
Seth out here grew up in the generation of streaming services and shit.
When it comes I remember my roots too. That's why I watch her on Crunchy.
The Hulus and the Netflixes and the Crunchyrolls and shit. Me on the other hand, I had to get it out of the mud where I could find it. NWAnime.com, YouTube.com, KissAnime.com. Like, we had to get in where we fit in.
All the dead and buried on YouTube.
And if you missed it, you missed it for the week. It just was what it was. Spike TV sometimes.
Yeah, everywhere. But yeah, Spike TV sometimes.
But yeah, I was just curious where y'all watched it at.
I remember Afro. You just brought back a memory. Wasn't Afro Samurai on like G4?
Maybe. I definitely didn't like it when it.
I know that it was on like before. Spike for a while.
Oh, yeah, I saw reruns on Spike, but I don't know if it aired OG on Spike.
Yeah, I just remembered. I was like, I don't need to. I know it's amazing. That's such an arrogant thing to say now I look back at it more, but it really just where my head was at that time. I was like, oh, I know it's going to be amazing. Let me see what else is on TV. But I mean, I just did.
But with that being said, today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, part two, technically, to the Afro Samurai episode. We watched the movie Afro Samurai Resurrection, which picks up immediately after he successfully gets that job done against Justice, secures the number one headband, and gets vengeance for his father, Rokutaro. Who wants to start us off?
I was gonna say I can start. For me, obviously, like, we see him like not necessarily wearing the headband.
Mm-hmm.
And we see him walking on the dock with like the fish basket over his hair and head, like he's trying not to get attacked every single waking moment right now. And then he gets attacked regardless, and obviously he slaughters them and everything like that. But for me, like, a very Afro Samurai feel, like, okay, we're back into the shits, is him not doing anything to the people on the like him not drawing his sword or anything like that, and the second the first person attacks him, like, we go right into like a song.
Yeah.
We go right into a hip hop song, and I was like, that, yep, we're back watching Afro Samurai now.
Yep, true Afro Samurai status.
Yeah, so the movie opens with him chilling on the riverbank making wooden statues of historical figures because he got his revenge, so now he's kind of lifeless, which is the whole point. Like, yeah, okay, you got revenge, but what's next? And nobody can ever really answer that question in anime and or movies or books or whatever. It's very rare somebody has the answer to that question, and so he's kind of just fading away because he didn't know what to do, so he's just living out his days doing bumfuck nothing. Then he gets attacked by these two fencers, quick work of them, and then our boy gets his ass beat immediately by a plot twist, still alive and completely cyborg, no emotions whatsoever. His bro, what's his name? Gino.
Theo.
Who's drawn proportionately well. Because of the Afro Samurai episode.
And it's in the future, yep.
Yeah.
How long was this time skip, by the way?
It's right after, so a couple months, I would say.
Really?
It's a couple months. Okay. Maybe a year most.
I just thought I remembered the sister being younger.
Well, yeah, she was a kid back then, but it's been like at that point, it'd been like 10 years since he had saw Gino. Because he thought he was dead.
Good point.
Yeah, so Lady CEO and Gino jump his ass, beat the fuck out of him, steal the number one headband, desecrate his father's grave, and takes his mandible because they say they're going to bring back life and torture him because of all the shit Afro has put other people through. And so that begins the movie. So now he's on a journey to get number two so he can get the number one.
It's also important that we recognize why he's going back into trying to get it.
Yeah, because they threat. Yeah, because like he don't want them to desecrate his dad's body, obviously.
And
because he's already proven. Well, she's already proven that she can resurrect people. And because Gino's alive, he thought he was dead. And
a second time, he thought he was dead.
Yeah, second time. And so when he saw that she had the skull of his, or the jaw of his father, it was like, this can actually maybe happen. And then Ninja kind of came and pulled up on him after they pulled off.
Yeah, like, by the way, now Ninja's back. Yep.
Ninja came back.
Recording the last one.
Yep. And pretty much he was like, what you gonna do now? You gonna get back on this journey? You gonna, he's dead already, and he's making good points. But you know, Afro was like, I gotta go. No question about it. And then we start the montage of him going on his journey and trying to figure out, first he's got to get his swords fixed. So he starts walking, and then he gets to his swordsmith, and he looks at him and basically says, you look like shit. And then from there, he says, but I'll work on this sword for you. So gets to work on the sword, got everything set up. I really did enjoy the fact that we got to meet who does the sword, because I feel like that's an underplayed thing in when these swordsmen, like, we don't always know who makes these swords that seem to never break no matter how much they cut. So that was a pretty cool setup. And then I did also hate how, like, as Ninja came back, it still was that feel of like, is he real, is he not? But I do feel like...
Oh, I definitely feel like he's real.
Yeah. But I do feel like as the story go on, you kind of get more of a decision-making, like, of, okay, hey, this is... this. He can be real, but, like, it's just there's so many situations... Because really when he gave him the sword later on, that's kind of when I had, like, a culmination situation. But, yeah. After he pretty much gets the sword from his sword master, I believe, if I remember correct, he started heading on his journey towards looking for the number two headband.
Correct. Yeah. He gets the sword reforged and then goes off. And this is where he runs into the last surviving member of the MT7 clan, Brother Three, who runs a gambling house. And Afro's like, yo, I need to tell where number two is. And number three's like, all right, bet. We got to fight for it, though. Afro goes, boy, so he's like, oh, no, I'm not a dumbass. We're going to do this shit in a game that I can actually win because I'm smarter than everybody else. And he's like, so we're going to gamble for it. And so they play a dice game. Odds or evens, obviously, simple way. Shout out fine shit black woman who was the dice holder, too, by the way, because it wasn't a whole bunch of other black people besides Afro in the first one. So that was nice to see. But she reveals the dice as Afro calls out even, and it's shown to be two snake eyes. No,
he calls out odds. Odd,
right? He calls odds, and it's revealed to be two snake eyes. So that's two, which is even. So Brother Three wins. But the plot twist is Brother Three has a switch on his neck that switches the dice, because I assume they're mechanical. And Afro catches him cheating. And he's like, all right, you got me fucked up. Give me the location of number two. So Brother Three has no choice but to give him the location,
otherwise he'd be dead.
Or he gets murdered because dead. So which he reveals to be currently in possession of a Ronin, making his way through a town that's holding the festival, and this Ronin's name is Shichigoro. And then we fast forward a little bit. He enters the town, or as he's about to enter the town, there's a kid screaming for help as this dude
kidnapped
him. Yeah, runs into Afro holding a gun. He's like, oh shit, you Afro Samurai, get out of my way. And Afro just kind of stands there because he'd be aura farming. Now that Zone knows that word, man.
Nah.
and so you can hear Shichigoro catching up, the dude makes the decision to shoot at Afro, and Afro immediately murks him, cuts his hand and face off. Crazy work, how violent the show / movie is. as Chris crying the whole time, blood everywhere, right? And drops down to the ground. Shichigoro was like, hey, you saved my son. Appreciate that, bro. Let me buy you a drink. At this point, we don't know for sure that he has number two, but it's heavily hinted upon.
Yeah, because they get when Shinjiro lifted up his sword, it was kind of like a...
There was a wrap. You know. Yeah, there was a white wrapping on it, but it was the other way around, so you couldn't see the headband, but Afro made the assumption. So he's like, let me buy you a drink. Takes him back into town, takes him to this bar, introduces him to this dude, and they're joking around about how his food's fucking terrible and shit, right?
Yup.
So they eat and drink. Kid falls asleep, and then Shichigoro turns to Afro, and he's like, yo, you trying to step outside and handle this shit?
Whenever he's like talking about like having a drink and stuff like that, he's like, want a lemonade?
That's when, yeah, that's kind of where it got tapped.
Yeah, it's like, solidified it.
Who knows that Afro drinks lemonade? Unless you did the information check. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah. That was the indicator that, like, okay, they know both what's going on. And then, pretty much from there, they go outside.
And they get to supper.
Ninjas kind of started off.
And they have, like, some crazy pans through the festival, by the way.
Yeah, right,
some crazy pans.
Yep.
Some lady was in
fucking
in
an alley.
In the alley during the festival, man. So I mean, as
Ninja, you see that in Orleans.
Yeah, you do. So as Ninja starts basically yelling at Afro, saying, "Why the hell are you getting in a stand?" Because Afro
was treating him with respect.
Yeah, he was treating him with respect because the guy Shajiro was the whole time was basically saying, like, "I'm not killing you because, you know, because you're number one, you want the headband, all this. I'm doing this because I got to keep a promise." Like, he had a legit reason to fight Afro. So he was like, "All right, I'll get in stand." They start fighting, sword clashing. Yeah, swords are clashing. And then as Afro goes in for a strike at his arm, he pulls out a chain. And then I get upset because I said,
"Wait a chain, yep.
This." Yeah, and I just was upset because I was like, now it's an unfair fight. So now whatever happens after this, you started it. One thing about Afro that I've learned is he starts off there. He gives everybody a shot. And as we saw earlier with the gambler and we see now with Shinjiro, everybody wastes their shot. So pretty much it's now a fight between his weighted chain and his sword. And so Afro picks up his sheath. He's like, "I'm not going to be empty-handed too." So then they start clashing into the fight for a little bit. The sheep gets knocked out. So Afro says, "F this. You want to fight me like this dirty? I'll bring this to the parade." And then that's when they lead the fight to the parade. And everything pretty much turned up from there because the DJ is on the side of Otsura and he's just mixing away. We got ninjas all in the roofs ready to go. And as Afro starts to, you know, fight Shinjiro in the middle of the street, some people think it's part of the show. The organization, the DJ in particular, plays a certain song, a certain record called Death of Afro Samurai. And I was like, oh, they was ready. And then all of a sudden, like,
didn't it also say earlier, like Death of All Afro Samurai?
It may have said all. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I just was like, in the moment of it, I didn't really need to rewind because I was in the moment of it. I was like, I felt I've read everything, but it could have been all samurai, Afro samurai, and indicating right.
They started throwing smoke bombs and shit. Little ninja robo motherfuckers start popping up. So these two are fighting each other and them at the same time, which makes for a really cool image.
Glory image.
They handle the light work pretty easily. And then they get back to the smoke.
Yep. They get back to their little situation. And from there, it's pretty much like, okay, now that all the phrase knocked out, we are going to probably take this.
This is the last care of.
Yeah, this is going to be our, like, final bout. Like, we ain't playing no more. Everyone's gone. It's me and you. So right. As we do that, we get a panel, a little quick pan, and we see the DJ got him a nice little gold pistol. And it seemed like he ready to just take Afro out.
007.
That pistol ain't gonna do shit.
Until he realizes he fucked up. That'll be a good segment if we started on the pod. The moment he realized
he fucked up.
Who's
was at this right. moment.
He realized.
He fucked up.
He fucked up.
Right. So Afro sees this, obviously. And so does Shijigoro. And so they handle the business again. Afro grabs the bruh, and so they both go around a giant fucking pillar in the middle. And as they do that, Afro throws the DJ at him. So when Shijigoro goes to cut Afro, he cuts through the DJ. And at this moment, Afro uses the opportunity to stab through the girl, stab through the DJ to stab Shijigoro in the heart, which obviously kills him. While all this is going on, though, Kotaro, the little kid, wakes up and sneaks out the back.
Realizing that his dad, who's not, his adopted dad.
He's not
his
actual father, yeah, he's adopted dad.
But the kid doesn't really know that.
Stepdad. I assume the kid knows that.
I don't think that the kid knows it, if I'm being honest. I don't think
from the flashbacks we saw, the kid was like that age the entire time. So I would assume he did know his OG dad, and he started to call his dad's best friend his new dad.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you taking care of me, I'm broke. Right. Like, you know, we're poor out here, but we're still happy. You're like my father.
Little Kotaro is rolling up as Afro has taken the number two headband from the dead body, put it on, and prayed over him. Like, hey, yo, I hate I had to do that, so he picked up. So the kid runs up, grabs the sword. He's trembling the entire time, looking at Afro. And Afro kind of looks back at him and just walks away. So the kid goes to his dad's body, cries. Afro keeps it pushing.
Starts walking through the desert.
Yeah, walking through the desert. He has some shit he has to handle.
And then Ninja is like, hey, what you gonna do about this kid following us?
He said a lot more at first. He was like, oh, this oxygen. I ain't gonna make it out here.
And then he pulls out an oxygen thing.
Yeah. He had me dead. This was probably Ninja.
Well, no. That was in the mountains. That wasn't in the desert.
Oh, that was in the mountain. Okay, I'm sorry. My mind went to head. I'm sorry. That had me down. But Ninja was really showing off in this movie. Like, if Ninja is the fox that Afro have, it's actually pretty hilarious.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So from here, pretty much, as they walk through the desert, the kid comes up from behind after Ninja basically calls it out. And Afro just keeps walking forward. The kid literally hasn't ate, drunk anything in 2 to 3 days, maybe 4 or 5 days, something like that. It's been a long time. And he just is finally starting to hit. He gets a little woozy, and then he falls to the ground. And it looks like he's going to pass out because we just kind of see a wide shot of him laying on the ground. And then, surprisingly, we just cut from the scene. I thought we would see more, but no, we just kept moving. We're now into the mountain scene where Afro and Ninja pretty much are still walking, treading along, and they get to... I think I'm jumping ahead. After the desert, this is when they got to the mountain.
Well, they leave, and like the kid passes out, walking in the desert behind them, and then the kid wakes up in the shade of a tall rock with one of the water bottles that was around Afro's neck next to him.
Okay, then.
And that basically gives the kid enough fuel, energy, and stuff like that to keep following. All the way to the mountain.
Which is where shit gets picked up immediately. Again, this is only an hour 30 movie, so...
Yeah, it's only an hour 30, yeah. Plot be plotting fast. And it feels like we've talked, about a lot of different scenes relatively fast, but that's also how fast this movie goes through the scenes as well. We're not in any one particular area for a long time at all.
Besides the actual mountain is the majority of the movie.
Compared to the actual show,
we're on that mountain for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think everybody was trying Afro like they would in the first one. You know what I'm saying? I think it was just that's why his walks were so simple. Because at this point, his name's out there as a demon, and nobody's trying to fight a demon. So, yeah. That would pretty much sum up. That's why I didn't really even mind it. As he was moving through each thing, I kind of did feel like that. Like, this is kind of just getting through everything. Like, he's not really having to face no one, but I guess when you think about it, who really wants to take on Afro? No one did.
In the mountains, though, like, he's walking through the mountains. He's walking through this, like, abandoned village and stuff like that. That's, like, very clearly been destroyed through fights and stuff like that. And Ninja's like, what happened here? Like, it looked like it was a good village and stuff like that. And then, like, I'm like, oh, like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is probably the village where they grew up. And it was.
Yeah, I had to give him that little pity flashback.
Yeah.
This is where it cuts to, like yeah, in between all this, obviously, this is where we get more detail on Jeno and Sio about how, like, she's Jeno's actual little sister and not the little girl that hung out at the, motherfucking, training.
Dojo?
That was the dojo? Yeah, the sword dojo. That was the daughter of old dude. And so, because she got murked in the first five episodes, or whatever. And so, it kind of flashes back to them and how their relationship works and stuff like that, and how she. So as this is all going on, obviously, she's using the manimal to make a clone of Afro's dad, or resurrect Afro's dad to make this unstoppable killing machine and shit. And so Afro is getting up the mountain. He gets into another fight. Where he kind of gets his ass worked a little bit.
Yeah, this is the part where he fought the three different cyborgs that work under.
Yeah,
this was a pretty brutal scene.
Ben is the name of one of them. I don't remember the other two.
It's not important.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. But they are people that he grew up with in the village and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were. And the woman really took, you could tell that these cyborgs had emotions based off, like, the woman when she was, like, trying to hold Samurai and say, shoot at him. And then you saw the other cyborg, really pretty much his whole face changed. He didn't want to shoot her. And it took the other guy, the leader of this trio, to really say, go ahead and do it. She knows what she's doing. He starts to shoot.
She's dead already, yeah.
Already dying. Afro throws her in front of him. She covers all the bullets for him. Then Afro runs up, cuts the other cyborg up. He leads to another fight with the main cyborg leader that pretty much he makes light work of him trying to kick him. Anytime I see Afro kick somebody, he wasn't even taking him serious. But this kick is caught. The cyborg's about to blow up. Afro does this amazing spin kick and breaks free, and the robot falls over and blows up. And as the lady said, the head lady of the organization said, she knew that they all three were going to die. That's why she ended up having to kill the professor, who basically knew they were going to go and didn't tell her. And she didn't like that disobedience. So she ended up having to kill the professor, who pretty much just finished resurrecting Afro's father. So now Afro is bleeding. He's hurt. His leg's fucked up. Bleeding from his leg, you see the blood. They keep doing shots of his foot, and his foot's probably broke somewhere. Something's broken.
Well, no. If you remember during which fight was it? I forget which fight it was. Oh, because all of this, like, from the scene on the docks all the way through now, not a lot of time has passed. Correct? It's been like a week at most, a couple of days.
Yeah. Because basically we found out, like she said earlier in the movie, it took 2 weeks for them to recreate her death. So this whole movie basically is the span of 2 weeks.
If we remember, in the very first fight, right, of the movie, he gets stabbed through the foot to stop the because he tripped on the dock.
Yeah, you tell it. Oh, dang, the recovery.
So he uses that to, like, catch Brian and stab through and cut him. So that never really had a chance to heal because he's been on Ghost since.
And he's been obviously walked, like, damn near
2 weeks.
At least
walked
hundreds of miles, if not close to 1,000 at least.
Yeah. No. She purposely, that's why when she jumped him earlier, and, like, she brought the head of his father to kind of give him that motivation.
And spine.
Because she was like, I need him to be motivated to keep going. But she needed him to last 2 weeks of, like, moving. Like, that was the whole thing, and pretty much she got what she wanted, and now Afro's pretty much bleeding, hurt, walking towards the castle, and she already knows that This is it. This is going to be what she wanted. She wanted to torment him. And as he's walking, guess who pops up? Daddy. Daddy says, come with me, son. And Ninja said, now you stupid if you go in this trap, and you know it. And he said, I have to do it. And then he said, well, I ain't going with you. See ya. And then that's, I'm going to say in quote what my homie said who was watching with me. He said, that's when the black person and him walked away. That's when he did. Yeah. And he was just straight samurai.
I do wish that this fight with his dad was longer, though.
No, for sure. So first, once he, like, walks into the trap willingly and stuff, right, obviously as he goes to jump, CEO, his dad and General stop him. And then, she's like, nah, it ain't, we not there just yet, my boy. Gotta put in a little bit more work. So then obviously he finishes the climb up to the mountain to start the fight with his dad, and then it gets fucking speed blitz. I'm talking about eradicated. I was like, god damn, he getting his ass whooped. Whole time I'm just like, couldn't be me though. And it's kind of like just setting into the fact that, like, this cycle of, like, revenge and hatred over these headbands will never really be over.
Yes.
Because the whole reason he's in this situation, because his dad was the number one, and Justice killed his dad, and Justice was, like, in front of him, obviously parallels with Kotaro and stuff. It's like, yeah, Lumnik, come get it back in blood. And so he leaves the number two, and then obviously other people could find out Afro has number two and jump his ass and beat the shit out of him, right? And it kind of just progresses from there in the first series to now. And the whole time I'm just like, why don't you just burn these bitches? Like, who gonna beat your ass? But that's neither here nor there. So Afro gets his shit rocked, and as he's getting his shit rocked, this is like the last 10, 15 minutes of the movie, Geno.
He gets choked to death.
Yeah, basically. See this man get his shit rocked to death. As he passes out unconscious, because he's already hurt when he fights his dad, so clearly he's at, like, maybe 40% at best. Seeing Afro get his shit completely smashed, Geno awakens, I guess, like, to his memories and about when they were still boys and brothers and working together. So he's like, Afro! Like he screams, like, Naruto and Sasuke scream each other's name and shit. And he goes to try and put in work against Rokutaro, who Afro's dad. And it does not go well. It's not going well.
He gets it a couple licks, but
yeah, he gets his licks in for sure. But then Rokutaro cuts the shit out of him, and then obviously seeing her one and only brother, the only thing in her life she cares about, the whole reason she's doing this, getting his shit rocked after he gets his arm cut off. She tries to help him out, and stabs Rokutaro in the back. Doesn't do any damage, obviously. And then, so as the two of them try to work together, as she goes to attack him again, Rokutaro picks up Geno's basically useless body, no legs, no arm, no hand on the other arm. She hesitates, and then, because this is just a caveat in the fucking movie, she gets stabbed in her chest because Rokutaro stabs for Geno, kills both of them. And in that moment, fully awakens, and he sees his little sister for the first time. He's like, oh no, my god, Seo, little princess, it's been so long, how have you been? And she just, you know, she looks really fucking sad, and she's like, she's like, Geo, and then they both die and shit, and Rokutaro is just kind of standing over them as Geo's body is
sparking.
Yeah, sparking because he mostly spy board. And this is where I call fucking bullshit.
This is where I call bullshit too.
There's so much bullshit in this movie, but this is the most bullshit. So the spark, right? Fucking, it sparks one last time, and the spark travels from the blood on the ground to Afro's body and restarts this nigga's heart. Sir, since when does blood conduct electricity? I'm not the biggest science motherfucker, so maybe it does because blood is technically just liquid and it's water or whatever the fuck. But nah, that's bullshit. And so it restarts this nigga heart, And Afro wakes up and sees what is left of his family on the ground, dead as fuck, even though they've been trying to kill him. So he's like, well, shit. Now I gotta nut up or shut up. So Afro gets up, reasserts himself. He's like, all right, bet, bitch, round two. So he and his dad go back at it. And then it's like, oh, but before this is the moment he's like, I'm sorry, but you are not my father. And then Ninja just fucking pop back up in the background and shit. Well, he been at the whole goddamn time. he's like, yeah, duh, dumbass. I told you that. And then so Afro puts work in, kills his ghost robot
but super clone dad. It was, I love when scenes go black and white, right?
Right.
But show us the fight.
I feel like
they were just done with the movie at this point.
I don't give a fuck. I waited for this the entire movie.
Steph's like, see, that's fuck, how I know you're,
I don't give Steph a fuck.
And part of the new school age where they expect these big things. That's why all these animation studios are going through hell because of y'all.
Yeah, sometimes it's the simpler things, my boy.
I'm trying to tell you, do you want this material or not? That's what these studios are telling you.
I'm just saying that fight scene in some people's eyes could have been the difference between an 8 and a 6.
Damn. We're going to get to that in a minute. But yeah, no, that's fair. So he wins the fight. And as he's retying the number one headband because he takes the number two off, Kotaro finally shows back up. And he's obviously still not worth shit in Afro's eyes. So he hands Kotaro the number two headman. He's like, come challenge me anytime you want. And then Afro just walks away.
Repeats the cycle.
Repeats the fucking cycle. The number one and number two headbands are just all about revenge and fucking sacrifice and fucking pride. Because anybody can challenge the number two, and only the number two can challenge the number one. So there's no more Afro stuff, so we don't know what happens with Kotaro and whatnot. But kind of is what it is. And then movie phased black or red or whatever the fuck, the credits play, then you hear RZA in the back hitting that Afro Samurai. And then at the end of the credits, or depending on what version you watch, you either see Justice himself appear, or you see somebody in a mask, and it flashes Justice like symbolically for a second, because there are two versions of the end.
Oh, okay. The Crunchyroll ending, by the way, is the look like a kid in a mask.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the regular ending, and then the director's cut DVD ending, which is the one I saw on YouTube, is the one where it shows Justice himself.
Gotcha,
and not just
okay.
the masked person, and then like a flash of Justice for a second. It just shows Justice at the after the credits, and then yeah, that's Afro Samurai Resurrection.
Oh, by the way, I did Google this. Yes, blood does conduct electricity because it contains various ions, particularly sodium and chloride, which allow electrical current to flow through it, making it a relatively good conductor compared to other body tissues.
Well, there you go. So if you ever
it
write
is anime bullshit, but it's scientific.
Yeah, if you ever write an anime bullshit, then put a bloodbender and a lightning user together, they're gonna fucking cook.
Look. That's dangerous.
Wild work, right? Yeah, so that's the movie.
I was actually telling my mom about this movie, right?
Uh-huh.
And
I'm glad you didn't watch it with her.
I actually do think that my mom would watch this kind of movie, but that's a different story.
I mean, it was a pretty good.
She would watch
think...
the Afros with the cheek clapping.
It was a quick scene. It wasn't long.
Yeah, it wasn't long, it, but like,
yeah, but it popped up like six times.
I've walked into the living room and she's been watching a movie, and there was like a scene going on or something like that, but it wasn't like, it was still like a action like. Right. All the movies that my mom watches are action. My mom doesn't really watch anything outside of that genre. But to say that, like, obviously in the past, my mom wouldn't watch the shows that was show with that scene in it because of me. because I was a kid back then. Yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
But but I was explaining to her the concept and stuff like that, and how like I'm more so a fan of shows that a character is so strong that they break the cycle, right? Obviously, that's not what the show is going for. That's not the point of the show. This show is all about revenge and how that cycle will continue forever in this world. And, but I'm a really big fan of shows that you break the cycle of whatever cycle that is, right?
Yeah.
Like
Naruto with the cycle of hatred and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know Seth's rating. So, what you giving it?
Oh, me? I guess after, you know, doing our... I always like to wait a little bit till after we do our discussion. I have, like, the rating I say before and see if our discussion changes it or anything. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I do... I try to, like, look at this standpoint from, like, all right, if the first TV series was, like, 5-6 episodes, this was, like, a second series, but only like 4 episodes, 5 episodes. I really did enjoy how, even though it kept trucking along, I didn't feel lost. Right. I feel like I didn't know what was going on. And then if you watch the movie, the TV series before, you understand, like, on his journey, the journey's the hardest part because, I mean, he has to walk everywhere, go, so no one wants to help him. He has no help. But at the same time, he's so powerful that nobody wants to mess with him. And that's something that always stuck to me. The headband equals power because you have to have power to handle the headband. I love the fact that he gave it to the kid. I knew he was going to give it to the kid after he, like, walked off. When he walked off from killing the kid's stepdaddy, I don't think he looked back at the kid. I remember him just keep walking.
No, he didn't.
And then at the end, he actually stopped and looked at the kid. He didn't acknowledge the kid till his journey was done, because he was on his own journey at that time. And then he acknowledged the kid, and he said, I'd rather you have it so I at least know who's my number two or who's coming after me. And honestly, no one in this world is going to think a kid has the headband. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, kid's going to be able to train. So it left a good open hole for it. And I don't think it's, like, the cycle continues just because, like, it's what his daddy instilled in him, I feel like. Like, his daddy was pissed that he came back and his son wasn't number one. So that leads down to family issues things. You know what I'm saying? Like, his daddy should have been just happy his son was strong. He wasn't. He wasn't happy.
Well, also felt like his dad's memories were not there. He was like a husk.
But, like, it's like, yeah, I do feel that. But his brother that came back, the emotions did overtake him. It basically showed, like, your emotions would have to overtake.
Yes,
like, you didn't have the mental and memory, but your emotions would be still there. And his dad had no emotions.
If you remember, they cut the cycle 2 hours early, though, on his dad.
Yes, dang, that is true, too. That is true. She sped the process up. I saw it said override, and then she sped it up to where, like, whatever is supposed to take 2 hours, she just rushed it to where it took, like,
It's the same thing with the Sugar Rocket thing. Also, bro, you didn't tell me you had a master's in Yapology. I just asked you what the fuck the rating was.
I know, but, like, I know.
I was like, all right, we probably did this, like, 45 minutes, quick in and out episode, right? This nigga goes, well, here's my thesis.
Because
I just asked nigga what the rating was.
The reason I got like this is because you said, well, I know what Seth's rating is going to be. And I'm like, I guess I'm trying to convince Seth to give it a higher rating than what he's going to give it. That's where this re-app came from. Because I do think, even though it didn't have a resolution, giving that to the kid damn near was the resolution, because who's going to think the headband's on the kid? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's why Seth is giving it what he's giving it. I think it's 100% the fight. I think the fight wasn't good enough for Seth's eyes, which is fair because it wasn't.
No, that's fair. It's fair. I mean, the first show, when the first TV series, like, the fight at the end kind of felt a little... I felt like the cyborg fight had all the budget, and the end was like, all right, we'll just put some. And I felt like it's about this movie too. Like, the cyborg, when he fought the three cyborgs, I think that was the most explosive, most animated most everything fight compared to the ending, because the ending was supposed to be more emotional. It was more emotion. It was more the feel of the fight. Like, this fight is wrong. This, like, it was just emotion. That's all I can, like, sum it up. And the fight with the cyborgs was the action. That was, like, he didn't give a fuck about them cyborgs. Even though he knew him, he didn't give a fuck. Like, he was fighting three cyborgs. That shit's hard. Even for any average, for any amazing swordman, that's going to be hard. And that was why I think that that's on, just like, the Afro Samurai way, is, like, the middle fight is the true climax.
But they blew me out of the water with the Afro robot fight. And that was basically the climax fight.
Yeah, exactly. And that happened in this movie for me too. That fight when he fought the three cyborgs was, because I remember Josh, we talked about, you know, knowing when again, the climax is.
Hold on though, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to just say this about the three cyborgs, right?
Yeah.
I said earlier, I can only remember one of their names, and I think it's Ben. And Josh said, it doesn't fucking matter. Right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the fight that you're calling the climax was fodder.
Yeah, but I feel like, okay, it didn't matter about them. I feel like it was to display Afro skills. I feel like every fight is that.
The whole show is to display Afro skills.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I was more impressed with the fight on the dock at the very beginning than the fight against the three cyborgs.
Opinions, I have to understand. I do feel you.
Fight sets the like this is a theme in the first season as well, right? The first five episodes of the show. The first fight sets the tone, right? We see him get surrounded in the first series, the first season, surrounded by like 20 people, and he proceeds to slice them all up methodically, that's the word I was trying to think of. Methodically, right? He's cutting off arms, cutting off hands, slicing throats, slicing Achilles to make them fall and stabbing them in the back. Like, he's doing work, right? And that whole fight, the very beginning of that, of the show as a whole, is to set up how good he is as a samurai for the entirety of the show, right? And that was the same thing with this one. We see, okay, he's not even drawing his sword, and he's putting in work on the docks, right? And then by the end of the show, it's like, okay, the one of the most impressive fights of the show was at the very beginning.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess you're
right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, all of that to say, my rating is 8 out of 10. I could rewatch this and fall into it. And that's a big thing for me, is rewatchability.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I honestly enjoyed it. I could see myself rewatching this. This is going to be on that list for me of, like just rewatch stuff. Like, hey, I need to watch something. I can't, nothing else going on. I could rewatch this. I do wish, part of me wishes season one was in movie format, even if it was like 3 hours. Like, it would just, for me, weirdly enough, be better. Like, so yeah. Seth, what is your rating? I've tried all my arguments. This is the gift.
Realistically, for the purposes of Mal, I'm giving it a 6. But if I were to give it an actual rating, it'd be like 6.5. I thought it was a fine show. I thought it was fine. I thought that the first five episodes was a lot better. I feel like the movie had a lot of potential.
That kind of left by the wayside. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 7. I'll meet y'all in a bit. I'll get a 7. Cool. I would watch it again, like, obviously, because I'm the one who introduced y'all to Afro. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't amazing. I think the episodic series was better for sure, but I fuck with it. But yeah, so 6, 7, 8. I think that averages to like a 6.5, right?
Or 7. I thought it was the 7. I mean, I could be wrong. Let me do math.
7.8.
I think that would bring the rating to like a 7.2 or something like that.
It's just 21. It's just 21 divided by 3, right? Seven. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 7. Yeah. So 7.5.
Seven.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's 7. Yeah. That's what I said.
7. Yeah.
Yeah. In my head, I was like, okay, there's a full point difference between Josh's score and Zoe's, and there's only half a point difference between mine and Josh's.
Oh, you gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, okay, 6.5. Yeah.
So 6.5 is your actual.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I don't think it changes by much, but that does change. Yeah. That's 21.5 divided by 3. 7.16, so that does indeed make it a 7.2.
Yep.
That does make the difference.
Okay, no. That makes me happy. I can understand the plot holes that you just mentioned. I just think, like I said, I mean, the name has held weight for a long time. And maybe Legacy is part of the reason why I gave it a little bump. Because, I mean, I've been hearing about that was the original anime conversations. Everyone always brought up Afro Samurai, and I was like, well, clearly that's a staple.
I think if you like Swordsman, it's a staple. I think if you're Black, it should be a staple. I think it's an early 2000s staple for sure. And I think it's also like one of the mature staples too, like one of the more like mature anime staples also. What are we looking at on time, Seth?
As of right now, I know we bullshitted at the beginning a little bit before we actually got started. Recording is about an hour 12, so I think we're about an hour episode.
All right, let's wrap it up, but because we did Would You Rather, let's do two Would You Rather just to flesh the episode out a little bit. So, would you rather have the number one headband with Afro Samurai coming after you, or the last Dragon Ball Frieza needs to wish for immortality?
Oh, definitely Frieza.
Why'd I do that?
No.
What?
I'm looking at Frieza like I'm a Z fighter. I get what you're saying. Like I'm me. Okay.
You are a normal human being.
Yeah. All right. You're right. You're right. I was like, bro, look, I got Goku on the side. I would just call him. Like Goku's a fictional character at that point. Frieza's real. What are you gonna do? Yeah, I got you. I guess Afro then, man. That's the only there's gun.
I mean, I feel like you're dying regardless of one of them.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but I feel like Frieza could be a quicker death.
Let's at least give you a fighting shot. Let's say you're base equivalent, like base fighter in that universe equivalent.
Oh, and then it would be Frieza because like Afro beats base fighters up, like he cuts them up.
Frieza also murders base fighters.
I don't feel like he'll brutally murder me. Like, I don't know.
Didn't he blow up Krillin?
That means do I feel it? I get what you're saying. I'm thinking about
you don't think Krillin felt getting blown up from the inside? All right, you got it.
I don't have to convince you.
Hey, look.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. I'm choosing Afro because at the end of the day...
I'm also choosing Afro. At
the end of the day, I'll be like, just make it fast, bro.
That's kind of where my head's at. I guess that's...
Just make it fast. Give it to the nigga. Giving Afro the headband does nowhere near as much damage as giving Frieza the fucking Dragon Ball.
Oh, no, that's real. You're right. You're right.
I don't want this. Take it.
The fuck?
I don't want this shit.
And if I have to fight, I'm like, all right, bro. All right, I'll give you 3 fingers. It's the best I can do.
I can hear you saying that, too.
I can give you 3 fingers.
3 fingers. The best I can do.
I can make that work. I can get a prosthetic. It's cyberpunk as shit out there, bro. Right. Okay, and then Seth, you had a couple of would you rathers that you missed out on. You want to do one of them?
You said you want to do the would you rather that you had.
You had a couple. You missed out on. You
got a couple.
The rest for another episode.
Okay. This one's D&D related, sort of.
I bet.
Would you rather take no fall damage or no stabbing / piercing damage?
Like in real life?
Yeah, real life.
I feel like I don't fall a lot.
But imagine being able to skydive without a parachute.
I feel like you just asking. Yeah, but who? I'm black. Why would I put
my, hey, look.
Oh, imagine running from somebody. You could jump and run from somebody. I guess that's first
accurate. I mean, yeah. If anything, yeah, I would get in the park. If anything, I would get into parkour, but I did that when I was younger. So I got that.
I also did that when I was younger.
No piercing damage, and I'd get into swords, like really learning sword, different sword techniques.
What? Where are you fighting niggas with swords that you would get at?
I'd move.
I would like to remind you, he didn't say slash damage. He said piercing.
It's piercing, stabbing.
Where are you
fighting
niggas where they're stabbing people with swords?
I need to get
piercing, stabbing.
Piercing, stabbing, flash damage.
My guy, just roll with a gun.
Now I'm saying I'll get into fencing, and like I'll never be scared to face anyone because I won't be scared of like
you know it's a pointed tip, right?
Yeah, no, I know, but like that fear,
like a ball, like a ball.
No, I get that. I'm completely.
You're more likely to get a welt than a stab.
But you're gonna feel it. Imagine not feeling anything, and you're in a fence fight with somebody.
Brother, you're in full padding when you fence.
I know, but just
I would like to remind you, you're more likely to get a welt from them slapping you than them poking you.
But that's almost, okay. All right.
I don't think you've seen
fencing. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just figured it's still you still felt
no,
it.
No, that shit don't hurt.
No, and, not and, hurt, and, but like you feel it. Imagine someone when they get it, you feel it. Imagine not feeling it, like nothing.
That does nothing. You still lose. It's point based. If you get touched, it's it. It's, right. Like, it's not. Oh, who can take
my
the
guy,
most pain?
Just choose the stabbing and piercing and like turn it into Luke
Cage.
Just say you're gonna take stabbing and piercing and then tell people, hey, I'll give you $100 to stab me. You can pay me $100. You know how some people like get paid to get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Be like. Hey, wanted to stab somebody? Give me $100, you can stab me.
I change it. I want to do fall damage because I could be a stuntman.
I'm going to take fall damage, but not for the fucking skydiving because it just... I was going to say, give me...
Never have to worry about tripping downstairs ever again.
When am I ever in a situation where I'm going to be fucking stabbed? When I'm not in fucking London, somebody's gonna do me harm, they're gonna shoot me. Yeah.
Well, it's stabbing slash piercing, America. So that includes bullets.
Like 8-year-olds have guns.
Stabbing slash piercing that includes bullets.
I mean, yeah.
Bullets do piercing damage.
Technically, they're not wrong. Okay, that makes it tougher.
Hmm.
In that case, give me stabbing slash piercing. I guess that technically also protects me from log trucks, but that's more blunt.
That's blunt force.
Like
no,
yeah.
no, 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 no. Still gotta look out for those.
I feel like that's blunt damage. Unless it's like sharp sticks and like you know people get behind impaled. Trucks with like metal poles and shit because a lot of people get impaled when they're driving and shit. So, you know, yeah, give me piercing.
I'm doing stabbing and piercing as well.
If I was a pro wrestler, I would take fall damage for sure.
I almost damn near want to choose fall damage just so, like, I never have to worry about if I, like, go downstairs fast. Like, falling.
Oh, you just tumble? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have enough stairs for that to be an issue. I don't go anywhere with an upstairs for that as an adult now.
State,
in college,
I go plenty of places that have stairs, unfortunately.
I don't go enough places where there are enough stairs where I would fall down and be an issue.
Yeah.
Give me piercing because bullets are a thing.
Oh, wait, so, yeah, I guess.
Bullets count. I wasn't thinking about bullets, but bullets do count. Bullets pierce your skin. They put holes in your
throat. Well, then, yeah, I guess.
Definitely fucking kill.
I'm choosing that too because
there's a whole type of bullet based on piercing specifically.
Yep.
Hollow points are a thing. Give me stabbing slash piercing damage.
And you said be Luke Cage in Montgomery. Yeah, oh god. That'd be I don't got no car like Luke Cage, he's not fast. He rides the bus like everyone else.
Bullets bounce off of him.
Hey, you're right. You're right, though. You're right. If he's there, the bullets gonna bounce off.
Okay, cool. We'll do this and then we'll wrap it up. If you were personally write a part three for Afro Samurai, what would you do?
Oh, it'd be about the kid. You wouldn't even see Afro the whole time. It'd be at least you might see like a glimpse, a little Easter eggs, but for 45 minutes of the movie you wouldn't see Afro. It'd probably be like,
and so you're doing a movie and not a show?
No, it could be a show. I guess I'm thinking movie. Just because I don't know, I feel like the movie aspect worked. I felt so locked in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For me, I was just a little more locked in. Not saying the show wasn't amazing. I was locked in with the show, but like, I stopped. You know what I'm saying? I got like episode three. I was like, all right, I'm cool. Okay. I didn't want to stop with this. And I mean, it was a movie. So I don't know. I just think that plays into it. But I would do, it'd be about the kid. And like I said, you probably see like him getting to his own sword fight. Him going a little journey. He'd take on someone that try to take his number two headband something. And I try to throw like a love interest in there. And then he comes down to it. And then somehow him and that, like he goes after Afro, they have a fight. And then I'll decide if I want them to work together for some bullshit resolution to make Seth like it more and other people like it more. Or do I
hear me out?
Have them have the fight?
I already know who I would cast if that was a thing, because I would also make it into a movie, and I would also focus on the little boy, and like his journey and stuff like that, right? I already know who I would cast to voice him.
And who would that?
And hear me out on this, right? He is an anime fan, Dylan Sprouse.
I knew I was using that for super. I'd be down.
I'd be down.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say no. Okay. Yeah, so y'all just doing the chase aspect, him going after Afro?
Yeah, because like, and then we can find a way to either like keep the cycle going or find a way to solution it. Yeah. Like I can only get to the part where they would have to fight halfway through my movie. Like I ain't gonna keep him not fighting to the end. They would fight halfway through, and we figure out the rest of it.
I would love it personally, right? If the way that I would do it, right, is the kid witnessed firsthand how strong Afro is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows how strong he has to get to. So he trains and trains and trains and trains and trains and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he fights halfway through the movie the way that you say, right? It's a close fight, but he loses to Afro. And then he goes back and decides again, okay, I have to train more now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like Afro doesn't kill him because he wants that kid to like surpass him or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And the kid becomes strong enough to where not only can he beat Afro, but he can like the idea to me of somebody one day being strong enough to where nobody can touch them as number one, right? As well as like being like, because Afro was like winning fights early on in the movie without ever unsheathing his sword and stuff like that, right? There was one part where he walked into like the like a little village or whatever, and he didn't kill anybody. He just like chopped a dude in the back of the neck and like aura farmed the rest. For being honest, right? And so, you know, like, somebody being strong enough to where if they want to continue the cycle of violence, they can, and killing and stuff like that, but being strong enough to end the cycle as long as they're alive.
Okay. I would do an episodic series, 7 episodes exactly. First episode opens with him having the number one and number two headband. He's already beaten Afro at this point.
The kid. Gotcha.
Yeah, Kotaro's already beaten Afro at this point. He opens with him having one and two. And basically it's going to be a 7-day journey. Each episode is one day of him going back to the mountain where Afro fought Justice, where he's going to burn the one and two headbands to forever put an end to this. And every single episode is a different fight with somebody trying to stop him from doing it because aura farming. And also they don't want the cycle because everybody wants to be the number one. But his whole entire goal is to end the cycle because he's already beaten Afro. He's like, I'm done. Nobody else is going to go through this. And then first six episodes, it's just him working everybody. Obviously, he gets beat up a little bit because you got to keep him humble and shit. But working everybody. Episode seven is the final fight. I'm not going to do something dumb like, oh, it's Afro's kid. No. He just works over the last, like, best samurai in the nation or whatever. That's the first 10 minutes. Last 15 minutes is him sitting there, like, Afro, I did it. And then it flashes back to like, his fight with Afro. Because throughout the show, it's going to show him, like it's going to do flashbacks of him training to get ready to fight Afro, right? Last episode, episode 7, he's going to do one final fight at the base of the mountain. Go up to the top of the mountain. There's going to be, like, a ceremonial, like, bowl or pit or whatever with fire in it. And as he drops the two, then it does, like, flashbacks to his fight with Afro, and that's, like, the last 15 minutes. And it's just 15 minutes of straight work, and it ends with him killing Afro. That's the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the idea.
Cycle broken. And that's cycle how I would do broken. That.
The cycle like would be broken.
But yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get the fuck up out of here because we still got one more to record tomorrow, so we ain't going to make this too long. Mental health is mental wealth. Love yourself. Appreciate yourself. Treat yourself. Usually, I got to wait to think about this. So, I'm going to go with. Give me a minute.
I feel like one of those inspirational
quotes. I got it. Okay. As a man, It is okay to cry. It is okay to emote. It is okay to show yourself. You're not being sassy. You can, like, all this whole men are sassy because they won't share their feelings or they defend themselves in an argument with a woman's bullshit. You're entitled to defend yourself. You're entitled to speak about your feelings. You're entitled to call motherfuckers out. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to be emotional. Fuck all that. Oh, you sassy or you gay or it's not manly to do that. What the fuck? That's dumb shit. That's so dumb. Why are we not allowed to express ourselves and show feelings and blah, blah, this and that? And then we fucking blow our brains out because we sad and shit. And everyone's like, oh my God, what happened? Bitch, you happened. He didn't have nobody to talk to. You his wife or girlfriend or mom or sister. And you weren't trying to listen. YouTube is making fun of niggas just like him. So obviously he was like, well, if she making fun of these niggas, she's going to make fun of me. Or you his homeboy or dad or brother, same fucking concept. Let niggas emote. Let niggas show emotion. Crazy word. Excuse my language, but like, what the fuck are we doing? Do better. So to the men out there, bro, let that shit out. Whatever it may be. I promise you, it's better than the alternative.
Yup.
That's my tidbit.
And also, find a circle that you can rely on.
For sure.
Because once you got that circle, right? Like, and you have that pathway of communication with each other and stuff like that, and you feel comfortable opening up, they feel comfortable about opening up and stuff like that as well. Like, that's forever going to be a bond.
100%. These are my boys and I love them. And they can come to me about anything and vice versa. So you get you some shit like that, you hang on to it. Worth the effort. But again, just men, I'm speaking to you personally on a real fucking note. Ladies, this week ain't for you. I got y'all next episode. Just let that shit out. Whatever it may be. You are allowed to feel shit. I promise you. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. They can kiss my black ass. Pause, no pause. But with that being said, mental health is mental wealth. Love yourself, appreciate yourself, treat yourself. You know, down 988, you going through it respectfully. Well, yeah, so social media.
Definitely, man. You already know you can follow us on TikTok at Otaku Collective PC. You also can follow us on Twitter at Otaku Collect Pod. Don't forget you can follow us all individually as well. You can follow me on Instagram at _whataboutzoe. You can follow Josh on 99.9% of social media.
Just say social media. Just say the social media.
There's new ones coming out. We're working on it. We're a little older. Sometimes we have.
Are there new ones coming out?
I mean, Blue Sky's pretty new. I mean, Red Note. I might unironically download Red Note. Like, even though TikTok's back, I heard Red Note pretty cool.
I heard it like, yeah, the people were ready, so they got onto there. Yeah, I have heard of Red Note. So, with that being said, you can follow them on most social media at @my_ownprofit, as well as Seth. You can follow him at C3Smooth, and don't forget to check us out on Facebook at Otaku Collective Podcast. You can just like, share, all of that good shit. You know what time it is. Thank y'all for tuning in. Seth, take us home.
Thank y'all for listening to another episode of the Otaku Collective Podcast. If you want to support the podcast, the best way that you can is to share the show with your friends, share the show with your coworkers, anybody that you grew up with, that you used to watch anime with, you watch anime with currently, maybe they got you into anime, maybe you got them in anime or anything like that, please share the show with them. We're a funny anime podcast, and we want more people to enjoy us and get further into anime as well. You can listen to us on all major streaming platforms. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Podcasts as well. And with that said, we will see y'all next episode. Peace out, you bunch of otakus.